Because there's no preparation like no preparation, right?
Preparation is for the weak.
Let's welcome the audience to the season finale of Mentioned in Dispatches. Mike, we made it through an entire season without getting out of order.
Why is that? What did we do wrong?
I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know, but it's probably Brant's fault.
Assuredly, it's Brant's fault. That's a guarantee.
I failed to use proper Labatt math in planning my episodes, and so therefore everything stayed in order.
You didn't bring your slide rule.
Yeah. So welcome, audience, and this is episode 13 of season 10.
Lucky 13.
The lucky 13, as we are counting down to Origins. And so we're gonna wrap this up talking about some conventions as we get folks looking ahead, as they're listening to this. We got about 7 weeks left till we get to Origins. So there's still time to get the boss to not approve your time off and then just quit so you can come to the show. That's still a viable course of action for some of you. Others like Mike have already quit and therefore have the time to come to the show.
That's true.
So, look, everybody out there knows Gary's voice at this point. So Gary,
I hope so.
Mike is here again, finally back off the road, and we're going to talk some conventions. The first thing we need to talk about, Gary, the one you and I just did last weekend, and we're going to try and piss Mike off and make him jealous for blowing us off on this, Buckeye Game Fest.
Yeah, it was a fabulous time. A fabulous time was had by all.
So the War Room opened up on Monday. The main convention, did it open Thursday or Friday? I think it was Thursday that they...
Thursday. Right? It was not really heavily populated until about Friday, however.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I didn't get there till Friday at 10:30, but I at least had an excuse. So,
a poor excuse, but an excuse nonetheless.
It's on an airplane. I was on an airplane not sleeping.
Weak.
Yeah. The let's just say the airplane trip was interesting and involved bruised ribs from being shoved into an aisle seat armrest for 6 hours while trying to sleep and failing.
The miracle of air travel.
Yeah.
That damned FAA.
Yeah, those bastards. You know, if only they had some competent administrators, the place wouldn't have gone to hell. So
or some decent engineers employed with them. Yeah.
Or that. All right. So Gary, War Room at Buckeye Game Fest. The original plan was three tables of Labatt. By the time I got there, there were only two. What happened?
So the guys from Marshall Enterprises were supposed to come and bring a couple of players, and the two main principals there, Jim Soto and Dennis Spores, did come, but their other their partners in crime had, I don't know what the issue was, but they did not make it. So instead of running the third table, we put them in on the second table, running Labatai using their premier rules. And they had a good time. That went very quickly. For them, much more quickly than what we were doing. That's for sure.
Calculators.
they're using Premier rules. Their Premier rules are simpler, frankly.
Yeah.
But it's not so much about that though, as it is about it moves at a very different pace than the Marie Louise rules that we were playing. Nevertheless, a good time was had by all, including the two Labatai noobs in the room. One of whom was myself. So.
Everybody appeared to be enjoying themselves, so that was good. Were the two Labatt games, were they the same battle?
Yes, both Waterloo.
Okay, so both playing the same battle. But again, like you even pointed out to me, you know, go take a look at the other map and take a look at roughly the same point in the battle, how different the maps looked.
Yeah,
and it was obvious the map you were on was far more linear, and I don't want to say organized, but it was far more sort of stratified, whereas the other one was kind of all over the place.
The way I would like to put it is reflective of the actual battle.
Okay, sure.
But and that's a difference between the two rule sets, right? Both the regs and the Marie Louise rules have a kind of elaborate, I don't know how elaborate it is, but there's a significant command and control element. You need to keep your leaders in range of their units, or command span, as we call it in Labatai, you know, but just between us Labatai players, Brant. you've got to keep those leaders in command span of their leaders and so on and so forth. And we had to pay pretty close attention to that, or orders weren't getting received. Whereas the Premier Edition dispenses with all that and just everybody moves.
Yeah, yeah, got it.
And that's fine. And in a convention environment where you kind of do want to move as quickly as is reasonable without necessarily rushing people, that makes a lot of sense, because they were able to get to 4:40 p.m. in their battle by the time we were playing the 2:20 turn, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. The other than the Labatt games, other things that were on the table, what all did you guys have on the table Monday through Thursday? Because I know what I saw Friday, Saturday. I got pictures of a lot of it.
Right. So the other big thing there was an OCS game that never materialized, and that may be as much my fault as anybody else's. But Grant and Alexander from the Players Aid came by and set up Unconditional Surrender Europe from GMT. And they got through, they pounded that thing until like Wednesday night, and they got through right through about mid-1941. Among the other 17 things that they did.
Yeah, no kidding.
So they were, I'm impressed with their energy level, right? My energy level is nothing like that.
They're also a little younger than us, though, aren't they?
They are, but they're not exactly whippersnappers either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, there were a couple of those running around.
They're not codgers like us, but
yeah.
I don't know. You're a little younger than me, as I recall.
About a year.
Yeah, something like that. I just look younger than you. That's okay. I'm okay. I'm comfortable with that.
Damn kids.
We need to get
not all of us are retired gentlemen of leisure, Mike.
Get off my lawn.
We're going to have retirement is going to be a thing of the past by the time it comes around for Brant and myself. So,
yeah. Yeah. So by the time I got there Friday, I got there in time for my first event on Friday. When I got there, David Thompson had Sniper Elite going on one table. There was a Commands and Colors game that had broken out. The Players Aid guys had I think they were setting up the Battleground Minis game. Or was that on Saturday when I got in there? They play it Saturday or Friday?
I don't remember.
It all sort of blurs.
Yeah, I want to say that was Friday night that they set that up. That's my recollection.
Okay, so they were playing.
It must Saturday. Have been Friday night, because I was gone by about 3 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah. There was so White Plains, Battle for White Plains went up on the vacated Labatt table.
That is Mark Miklos's Battles of the American Revolution series from GMT.
Yep. And there was Fire and Stone was up there at one point, was somewhere. Polis, Nevsky, a couple of different runs through Undaunted Battle of Britain.
Since
Dave was there, they ended up playing like eight of Dave's games. But
well, yeah, yeah. Pax Pamir ran. I can tell you that because I played it.
I did not see that one, but that's cool.
I think that was on Thursday night, actually.
Yeah. There was Tim from Catastrophe Games got a couple of his actual published designs out there, but seemed a whole lot more interested in putting his unpublished ones in front of people. So True Command, Solder City, a couple of others.
I saw Solder City, and True Command I saw as well, actually.
Yeah, Solder City looks a little more polished than True Command at this point, but I think it's further along in development. Also from Catastrophe, I did see Zermatt getting played when I got there on Friday. Zermatt was in progress. Fall Blau, Tim and Dave were actually playing.
That's true.
And then,
of course, Blue Panther was there.
Yep.
Starting on when they actually got there on Wednesday night, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll take your word for it. I was in Reno.
Yes.
Man, I missed Blue Panther. Damn it.
Did you get it on the Saturday flash sale?
No. So I think Steve was watching for me to walk down the hall, go buy the game I was going to buy and come back and sit down and then make the announcement, because it wasn't even 30 minutes from when I bought the game I was buying.
Brant's gone. Down. It's safe to do the flash sale.
Yes.
I've got the mission, Mike. I don't have Claws of the Tiger.
Mike is
just received.
A couple of pictures. Yeah, I got the Brian Train Ukrainian War one. Just supporting Brian, but it was a cool game. Wanted my own copy of it.
The mission's pretty cool, by the way.
It's Ben Madison. How can it not be cool?
Well, yeah. Mr. Madison is a very good game designer that doesn't 100% do games that I'm interested in, just on topical grounds. But the mission is a game about solitaire, States of Siege type of game, although it's different enough from States of Siege that maybe some folks will quibble with that name, about early Christianity and the growth of early Christianity. It's an absolutely fascinating game.
Yeah, I think the better way to describe some of those Ben Madison solo games is that they are tower defense games. States of Siege is another type, is a particular type of a tower defense game. But I think he's got a handful of those. What is interesting is that in some cases you're attacking the tower instead of defending it. If you look at Ms. Thatcher's War,
I haven't played that, but so in the mission, you're actually the tower, yeah, and you expand out from the tower, and then there's a transition or at some point in the game where you're now defending the tower.
Okay.
It's actually really, really interesting design, has a lot of really good history built into it. And it's a game that I'm a really big fan of. I've got a couple of his games, and that is likely to be my favorite of the bunch.
Cool. Good to hear.
Yeah. So, Steve had more than just Ben Madison games there. He had a bunch of stuff from Hollenspiel, some things from Historical Game Company. Obviously had all of Catastrophe stuff that he's printing with him.
Did he have the canvas maps with him this time?
I didn't see them. That doesn't mean
That doesn't mean no. Yeah, he had been Origins, but he had him behind the counter. You could ask.
So it's interesting you should mention that, because my copy of Stonewall Uprising that I bought has canvas pieces in it. And for that matter, Land and Freedom might as well.
They both did. Yes, because I've got them both.
So there's no need for separate canvas pieces. And the other one I bought was Hood's Last Gamble, which is a John Tyson design from Hollenspiel from a number of years ago. And I don't believe they ever did a canvas map for that.
Okay.
Nor would I have wanted one, because it's a straight 23x34 inch hex map.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's outstanding. So the other thing that Steve had that was a little unusual, Blue Panther actually had two different vendor tables. They had one over in the vendor room that was probably about 50% of the merchandise available in the vendor room, just because some of the other booths were rather sparse. And then he had one table specifically in the war room, which was nice. So we had Blue Panther in both places.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Gary, how many times did you take a turn through the Artemis Spaceship Bridge Simulator this time
around? Zero.
Really?
Yeah, zero, which is unfortunate. Because that's a great experience. I love doing it, and I just didn't have the time. We did not, unlike, say, OCS, where it's like, it's your turn. I'll be back in 2 hours. Marie Louise is not like that. You might take a lengthy activation. It might take an hour, but that's the most you'll see. And the activation could take 5 minutes. You might just be, I'll move these cavalry forward, and I'm done. Yeah, so
not a lot of gaps in the action.
No.
Yeah. I didn't make it down there, but I also, you know, was filling the time with plenty of other stuff. So among the other stuff that we saw at Buckeye Game Fest, they did on Saturday afternoon get the giant diplomacy game out in the lobby. Mm-hmm. And so this is about a 10-foot by 10-foot map that they lay on the ground that you can walk over. The armies and navies pieces are the size of a kid's Tonka truck. They're rather enormous. They're nice carved wood pieces. They were fairly large. What was interesting was the guy having to teach the game of diplomacy to a bunch of people. So clearly some folks that had never played it before.
Mm-hmm.
But it did look very cool.
And I believe fisticuffs did break out.
I don't know. I avoided it.
It had to have been a guarantee if they're playing in diplomacy.
Exactly. Oh, they had these like sticks to move the pieces because they're on the floor and they're all old.
You're giving a weapon.
They can't bend over anymore, like myself. So they, yeah, exactly. There was a fencing match broke out in the middle of the game. It was delightful.
I think if you're going to do something that large on the floor, every player should be required to bring a child with them to crawl around on the map and move the pieces.
That's true. Or an underling of some kind.
That's how you do it. I got a chance to play Dave and Liz's Night Witches,
Which I kind of observed. That looks pretty neat.
It's pretty nifty. It is not. It can be played solo or co-op. It's a nifty couple of mechanics, the way you sort of fly through that combat zone and sort of uncover the map as you fly through it. And then how you manage your aircraft while you're doing that. It was a couple of neat mechanics. I was very impressed by it. It plays really quick. To say that it feels like a video game doesn't quite do it justice, but it does kind of feel like a video game a little bit, where you're sort of uncovering things as you fly over them and then trying to figure out the best route through what you're dealing with.
Yeah, it did sort of give me a bit of a, just kind of the way the pieces move. This is really a groundless statement, but kind of did give me a bit of a Galaga vibe.
Yes, that's not unreasonable. So, but definitely a neat take on the material and on the type of engagement on an aerial, you know, an air to ground engagement essentially is what it is.
Cool topic. It's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing the final production version of that. And, and then also, oh boy, the Player's Aid guys, again, what was the
non-stop final count? With those guys. Games? What's that?
Was the final count 17 games, I think?
Oh, I don't know. But I mean, they played a lot of different stuff. They probably put 15 hours into Unconditional Surrender, and then they played some miniatures game, and they played D&D for like 6 hours. I'm sure they clocked some time in Artemis. It was, on the one hand, nice to see them actually like go to a convention and enjoy themselves, because, you know, they're like big convention experiences, run, get this interview right. So it's great that they could come and just kind of kick back and play games at Buckeye Game Fest.
And the thing about Grant and Alexander is the whole time they're there at Buckeye Game Fest playing games, they're still uploading videos and posting videos. It's like,
their stuff gets it scheduled months in advance, though.
It must. I don't think they ever sleep.
No, they, well, that's quite, yeah. I mean, I didn't see any sleeping happen. No sleeping was seen.
They may be robots. They may not be human. So, we need to check them for their humanity.
They could be. They could be pod people of some
pod kind. People. I like that.
So the D&D reference, they were playing the Nations and Cannons role-playing game, which is the American Revolution using the 5th edition D&D rules.
Which I literally had never heard of. So
yeah, that's because you weren't watching our site last week while you were at Buckeye Game Fest, when we had both an interview with the designer show up on Monday and a podcast with him show up on Friday.
Yeah, I was busy killing Hanoverians at that time. Sorry.
Yes, you're forgiven. I was pointing out that you were decisively engaged.
I was decisively engaged.
So this week, you don't have any excuses. You got nothing else going on. You can go check it out.
Oh, I got, yeah, nothing else is going on.
Speaking of nothing else going on, we've got Origins coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Indeed, we do.
And Mike, have you started packing yet?
Am I going to that this year?
Did you ever unpack from last year?
No. Actually, I still have a bag with some Origin stuff in it. So that is a true statement. I'm ready to go back again.
So Origins is coming up. It starts the 21st, which is Wednesday. So June 21st, it will be starting and is going to run all the way through Sunday. Our events, we run events Wednesday through Saturday. We've tried Sunday events in the past. Nobody shows up for them. So we sort of gave up. We do our raffle on Sunday. We pack the place up. We've never gotten people to consistently show up for Sunday events. And so rather than have GMs sit around twiddling thumbs waiting for events that don't happen, we just quit doing them.
Everybody's dead by Saturday. That's the problem.
That's yes. Nice. Yes. They are fairly well wiped out, especially if you start Wednesday early enough, having to move furniture around.
Oh, that sounds fun.
That becomes part of the issue. Theoretically, we should not have much furniture to be moving around this year because we did get the sketch of our space into Gamma in plenty of time for them to request the appropriate tables. Mm-hmm. The key question will be, what will the war game area be labeled as on the map this year?
It'll be Armchair Space Dragoons.
It'll be Arm Space Chair Dragoons.
Oh, that's right. Possible. Arm Space Chair, but that's right.
Yeah.
Or Space Dragoons. You'll be the Space Dragoons this year. Yes. It's going to be great. Yes,
that is not improbable. So,
or it may just say
the war gamers as two separate words also.
Or it's mm-hmm. Origin, so it may just say avoid in that
block. There's no war gaming at Origins, as we've established.
I wonder if we can get them to label it Here Be Dragoons.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
try that's that. That's not a terrible idea, actually.
I wonder if we could pull that off. It's probably too late to get it in the printed book, but maybe we can get it online.
So, is there going to be a printed book?
If there is, it's too late. And if there's not, it's too late.
It's irrelevant. That's true.
So,
is their event registration site working yet?
So funny you should mention that. Event registration went live on Saturday.
Instantly torpedoed.
Pretty much. It went live on Saturday at 1. At Saturday about 1:01 and 30 seconds, the complaints started to show up online. Now, there were some legitimate issues with the tabletop.event site where it was not recognizing the fact that people were logged in. So people would be logged in, they'd go to buy their tickets, and it would say, you must log in. And so they would log in and they'd try to pay for their tickets. They're, you know, buy, air quotes around buy, because the tickets are free, but you still got to register for them. The event tickets, once you have your badge. But it was still telling people they weren't logged in. So there were significant headaches with that appeared to have been cleared up after about 90 minutes worth of frustration. A lot of folks were saying, just cancel registration and start over. Of course, that's not really fair to the people that did get what they wanted. There were a couple of people that were reporting online issues with server capacity, that things were just overloaded and things running too slow. And it's like, you know, 10,000 nerds all launched a DDoS attack on the tabletop.event servers and then got mad when it worked.
That's not an inaccurate summation of the situation.
Yeah. That was not the cause of all of the problems that TTE had, but that was a non-trivial chunk of them. And so, the Origins veterans, first of all, know that this is the least bad of the registration systems they've had for the last 20 years.
Handily.
Yeah. This is easily the least bad of those. Anybody complaining about any registration issue should have been standing in line in 2016 when Microsoft Patch Tuesday broke the registration
code. Oh, that was hilarious. Oh my God. Every computer in the place, every kiosk, all shut down due to Windows update. It was a glorious day.
Some of us had picked up our badges before that, and we were okay. We were just laughing at everyone else. I really think the registration line stretched back to Ohio State at that point.
It may well have, yes, because which is about, I don't know, 4 miles up the road or something like that.
It did not move. So again, those of us who have been through legitimate registration hassles were really laughing at the people complaining about the registration hassles this year.
You know, these kids today don't know how good they have it.
Yeah. You know, look, I feel for the people that were frustrated that they couldn't get all the events that they wanted. Even if the system had worked perfectly, you weren't going to get all the events that you wanted, but you might have had a better chance of getting some of them.
All the Traveler events sold out in 16 and a half seconds.
Or they were unavailable after 16 and a half seconds, but not necessarily sold out.
Well, maybe
we'll have to hold our own.
Gary tried to do that last year, and then
I threatened to do that at BGF. Actually, I had the stuff with me. I did not have the energy level to not only run assemble it at the time. That was the thing, right?
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I'm old and busted, man. I ain't got the juice for this anymore.
You could deputize Grant and Alexander for it.
I could force them to play Traveler. It'd be great. Yeah.
So, Gary, Origins, the big monster game event this year is
The Third World War from Frank Chadwick and Compass Games.
Now, as I understand it, we're putting together the three Europe maps for sure, but I don't think we're going to be able to attack the Persian Gulf map on the end of it, right?
No, because the Persian Gulf, so it's actually desirable to play it separately anyway, because the Persian Gulf sort of serves as a prelude to the rest of the thing. So you'd be kind of running on that map without doing anything on the other maps for quite a while, and that's not necessarily a great idea, because then you've got like a whole, and it kind of mates with the other maps in a weird way that's not necessarily conducive to the table arrangement that we have. So we will just be playing with Battle for Germany, Arctic Front, and Southern Front. But that's plenty of game. We're not going to be short a game.
And so setup starts Wednesday noon, wraps up around Wednesday midnight is when you're done.
Setup starts whenever Lee and I get there and ends whenever we're done setting it up. So I got to go drive off to the hotel in glorious Grove City, which, by the way, is sold out due to Origins.
Wow.
And check in by 11. So that should be plenty of time. It doesn't take that long to set up. Well, it'll take us an hour to set it up.
That many Origins people in the hotel with you, you should probably be able to bum a ride. ride over to the convention center
in Grove City. Yeah, I got to figure out how I'm getting a I got to figure out car arrangements because we're down to one car. So that is a thing that's got to be figured out.
Yeah. So Third World War, as we're going to do similar to what we did with Europa last year, where we're going to set up one monster game. We're going to run it all weekend. We're going to do it in 4-hour chunks.
Right. It's going to be the Narnians versus the elves.
Gary likes to make fun of the war that never happened in Europe.
I'm really making fun of you, Brent.
Not for the first time this week.
Oh, no, by no means. Not the most memorable time this week either.
Look, the video is attached to the podcast episode. People can go see.
It was a solemn and glorious ceremony.
It certainly was amusing. I had no idea what the hell you were doing until you were walking over toward me with the shirt. So,
and this after you spit all over Gary at Origins last year, I'm surprised he would do such a thing for you. That's a terrible shock.
Man, I've had this cooking for months, man. I designed t-shirts for this.
Yeah. So again, folks can just scroll up from where the video, the audio is playing here and go watch the video from Buckeye Game Fest to catch the reference. So we've got six different blocks at 4 hours each for Third World War. And folks, you don't have to stick around for all 24 hours like Gary and Lee have to stick around for all 24 hours. The rest of y'all only got to play one block at a time if you want, but this is set up as a rolling game, right? So people mm-hmm. are going to pick up where the previous session left off.
Yep.
And we're going to see how far through the game we get.
Yep. We'll get a decent chunk of the way through that game actually in 24 hours of play. And, you know, we expect to not necessarily move incredibly quickly because we don't assume that everybody's a master of the game system. I mean, it's been a while since Frank's been to Origins, for example, but, it's a pretty fast moving game though. We don't expect to lose a lot of time.
Do you know if anybody's told Frank we are doing this?
I haven't. So
it just occurred to me that Frank might be interested in knowing that we were doing this.
I hadn't really thought about it, but that's possible, actually.
I mean, I doubt, look, Frank's probably got some free time on his hands, but I doubt he's going to hop on a plane and come join us. However, he might be interested to know that it's happening.
I don't know exactly where Frank is located nowadays. I know that Mark Miller is still in the general vicinity of Central Illinois, and I believe Rich Banner is as well, but I don't know about Frank.
Yeah, so we probably need to shoot Frank a note and just say, hey, thought you'd like to know this is happening.
Okay, well, if you got his email address, you go ahead and do that.
I'll have to look. I'm sure I can find it somewhere. Other big events that we have going on. The Pico Armor guys are joining us for the very first time. So we are giving them one of the bigger tables because they've got terrain stuff to set up. And what these guys have done.
Are they going to have Pico de Gallo?
You'll have to check and see.
Because that'll be very unfortunate if people sign up for that event expecting Pico de Gallo and they don't get Pico de Gallo.
Is that the French Pico Armor?
I mean, I'd be mad, personally.
Yeah. 3mm minis, which are really mini minis. And they're going to have a great many of the mini minis. Anyhow, they've taken the old Panzerblitz maps and 3D'd these things with hex blocks. So we're going to be moving the Pico Armor around the old Panzerblitz maps on one of the other giant tables. I think they're actually on the same side of the booth as you over there. So you'll be right next to them.
It actually sounds like it will be neat and photogenic.
Yes, which is why we've pushed them out to one of the corners and tucked you guys in out of the way. So
that's not a bad idea, actually. We smell bad. You don't want to put the public next to us.
We'd rather not scare folks. But no, the Pico Armor guys are out on the corner where we've got two different walkways intersecting there so that we get foot traffic in multiple directions past them.
That's a great idea. After all, you know, a big part of why we have this area conducted in the way it is for visibility, right?
Yes, so absolutely. So Mike, what did we stick you with this year?
Why did you stick me with? Well, you stuck me with Plains Indian War, but I actually chose to run Space Empires 4X myself this year.
I'm pretty sure you volunteered for Plains Indian Wars. Because I'm pretty sure I went to you and said, hey, what things from GMT would you like to do?
Well, okay. So I think there was an enterprise connection here that you know, we certainly want to run things that Enterprise might be having on hand at Origins this year.
That's a crazy piece of dogma right there.
Exactly.
Lunacy.
I did notice, though, that Space Empires 4X, and this was totally expected by me, honestly, was just filled up within, I think, moments after registration started.
After registration went live or after people could actually register? Because those two are not the same thing.
Yes.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Space Empires 4X is fantastic. And I don't get a chance to play it enough. And if I wasn't committed to a large game that's going to cook my face off already, I would probably have signed up for that myself.
It is an awesome game. It's going to be the basic game, teaching game, of course. But even even the basic game is still so much fun. So it's a great game. I think if people haven't played it, I think they're going to be surprised and impressed at just how fun that game is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much you guys love bookkeeping and paperwork, but I love bookkeeping and paperwork personally.
I actually do not mind it. I actually like it myself too. Yeah.
I was being facetious. There is a little bit of paperwork. There's like a log sheet you got to keep track of your production on, but that's it. It's not anything crazy or unmanageable. It's certainly less paperwork than the old Stellar Conquest, which is the game I compare it to all the time.
Mike is a fan of Federation and Empire, so Empire 4X is like okay. a white game for him.
Yeah, that's a hope you bring your laptop and Excel.
So bookkeeping is not, I actually do like some bookkeeping. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So, you know, mentioned GMT and Mike mentioned Enterprise. For folks that don't know, most folks probably do, but for the couple listening that might not know, Enterprise Games are a retailer out of Indianapolis they've been at Origins for the last 10 years working with us. I think it's about the last 8 or so, but they are GMT's official rep in the vendor hall. They're supposed to have exclusivity on GMT products. So they're supposed to be the only ones selling it.
Uh-huh. They're supposed to be.
I was very careful to use the appropriate words. Uh-huh. But
is anybody getting reported this year for breaking that rule? Is what I really want to know.
I don't know.
An anonymous little birdie.
Yeah.
So does it have to be the vendor that's being infringed upon to report that, or can anybody go up to the Gamma staff and demand to see what's his name?
I do not know. I do not
ask him what the hell is, why is this intolerable situation continuing?
Usually I'm busy enough that I'm not all that worried about that part of things. So, but yeah, the Enterprise Games as GMT's official rep are supposed to be stocking all the GMT stuff, but GMT through Enterprise does provide a lot of support for the things we do. They always make sure Don's got copies on hand for sale for the games that we're running. If we need an extra copy of something
hypothetically, because we forgot our blocks hypothetically.
Yeah, well, there's that. If we inform them ahead of time that we need an extra something on hand, they are able to provide it generally. And
I'm sure that Brant will let Don know that the fine folks at Enterprise Games, I'm sure, will have some copies of Compass Games Third World War to sell as well.
Don has been provided a full list of the things that we are running.
So, okay, fantastic.
Hoping that he can make arrangements for as many of those as possible.
So Enterprise Games I'm required when I first get to Origin, the very first thing I do before I even check into the hotel is I go to their booth and just hand them my wallet and say, here you go. And then they hold it throughout the entire time.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mike. It's like you got to pay off your tab at the end of the convention.
Yeah, exactly. Here's my credit card. Start running the tab. Actually, that would be a whole lot easier than the way I work it. I like that idea.
Enterprise Games does stock other things than GMT. They also tend to carry a pretty decent selection of used war games. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that you can
do... A lot of which are also GMT, to be fair.
Yes, a lot of which are also GMT, which makes sense if they are GMT's rep and GMT is helping provide the support for them to be there.
That all
makes sense.
It does.
So one of the other things that Don has done in the past for people and is happy to do for folks, if you place an order with him from the warehouse and you're going to be at Origins, he'll just bring the stuff to you at Origins rather than have to ship it to you. And that way you can just pick it up from him there.
I've taken advantage of that splendid feature as well.
Yes. So when Mike's talking about, you know, stuff with Enterprise and why we're making it a point to keep a lot of GMT stuff on the table, that's one of the reasons why. They provide a lot of support to the things we do there. They provide a bunch of prizes for our raffle table, and so that's something that that we want to make it a point to you know, return that support and make sure we've got a bunch of GMT stuff on the table. Mm-hmm. Which is why, hey Mike, what do you want to do from GMT this year? And that's how we end up with Space Empires 4X and Plains Indian Wars. Also, Salerno 43 was already spoken for.
That's true. And that's one of our local Columbus fellas running that. And in his spare time, he'll probably be playing Third World War with us.
Todd had mentioned that he would rather have some morning sessions rather than go too late into the evening for Salerno 43. And I think the reason for that is so that he's got evenings free to come join you guys at the Third World War table.
Sure, because that's where the real action is going to be happening.
Yeah, not at the CPX table. It's going to be with you guys.
You guys will be louder, despite my being at a different table, believe it or not.
That is entirely possible. So, Mike, anything you wanted to add about Plains Indian Wars?
The only thing I'll add about Plains Indian Wars is, how far are we to Origins, did you say? How many weeks
six
away is that?
6 or 7 weeks.
6 or 7. So I have 6 or 7 weeks to learn that game and be able to teach it. So that's all I can add.
You know, it'd be better if you weren't admitting that on radio.
It's okay. This is how I made it through college.
Nothing he'll be more scared minute. Than some of the people running events at Origins. It'll be fine. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. Along the lines of other GMT events. So, yeah, Salerno 43, those are 4-hour games, and we have 4 iterations of that available for folks.
That is, by the way, a complete game, more or less, of Salerno 43.
In the 4 hours, yeah. I think the playtime generally runs around 3, but we bracketed it 4 also to make sure we allowed for some time for teaching and learning as you're going. So,
yes.
Picking up the system as you go.
Exactly.
And those are all daytime sorts of things. Those are all like 10 and 11 starts and 1 p.m. starts. So you've got plenty of time to play Salerno 43 and still get to dinner and then get back in time for the late night run through.
And the mud wrestling event starts at 10 p.m. as I recall.
As long as we don't have to be 2 booths away from them where we're listening to them ring that bell and scream every 10 minutes.
Oh, you're talking about the pro wrestling. I mean, so as a naturally loud person, they're really loud. I mean, they're seriously loud. I mean, I actually was thinking of going over to that booth last year and saying, hey, do you guys have like an application or something I could fill out?
There was the one dude that had microphones and speakers, but the one dude had his microphone and his actual voice was louder than what he was being.
That's true.
It's
like,
what? Put the microphone down, dude. You don't even need it.
Yes, that dude at the pro wrestling place, the pro wrestling card game or whatever they had, that was the case. There was also the dude at the BattleTech table across the aisle from us last year that had the throat mic and the belt speaker that was unnecessarily loud as well.
I thought that was just him breathing, actually.
No, the Darth Vader dude was on the other side of the BattleTech booth, which makes it a little worse that you can hear him breathing from that far away. But along the lines of GMT things, the other stuff, we've got a couple of coin games going. So we've got 4 iterations of Liberty or Death, which were originally listed in the event program as Liberty of Death, thanks to a typo.
Which is a completely different game.
The Liberty of Death is, that wasn't what it was supposed to be. We did get that corrected. It is now appropriately listed in the event program. It's also, I think, all 16 seats are sold out. It's 4 runs. It's a 4-player game. So I think we sold out all 16 seats of that one. And Andrew Buchholz is coming to town to help with that one. He's a regular at SD HISCON. So, been around Wargaming a bunch. He's one of the editors of their Conflicts of Interest Wargaming magazine.
Which is pretty nice. I think there's only one issue with that out so far, right?
There's one full issue, but they have had a couple
special article releases or something like that. I was pretty impressed with the first issue. That's a nice piece of work.
It was a nice piece of work. One of the special articles just dropped this past week, and it's about wargaming sort of uncomfortable topics.
Yes, I saw that. I have not read the article yet.
They interviewed guys like Cole Worley and Brian Train about some of these things, and it was a good read.
Are the people. I hope they talk to Liz Davidson, because she has also tackled that very subject on her outstanding podcast, which, as we are recording, is the Golden Geek Ballot still open?
As far as I know, yes.
Okay, well, you should all go vote for Liz Davidson's Beyond Solitaire podcast, because the Armchair Dragoons podcast is a peasant podcast that is not nominated. And Liz's podcast is a wargaming podcast and is outstanding.
And Liz didn't beg for votes nearly as shamefully as we did. And
it was pretty shameful. I was embarrassed for you.
I wasn't. but she made the final cut.
And it worked for those U-boat guys.
Yeah, well. The other coin game we've got, normally I will do a couple of runs through a distant
plane. Oh, coin? I thought you said corn. Corn games.
Coin.
Okay. There will be corn games at Origins, I can guarantee.
Okay.
Yes, we've got the cornhole board.
We will not be running them.
It is in Central Ohio, where Kel is real and so is corn.
Yes. Normally, I do multiple iterations of a distant plane as a team game. This year, I'm down to just one because there's other things I got to deal with this year. I'm doing multiple War College talks this year, so I've only got one run through a distant plane. So if you want to be in the team coin game and see what that's like, you got one option to sign up for this year. Best I could do.
A Why didn't memorable you get, experience that... folks who haven't done it should participate. Like a number of the sort of feature events that pop up every year in this area, it is a memorable event that you owe it to yourself if you're a wargamer to participate in.
See, now that you've oversold it,
anybody? Why don't you get Grant and Alexander to show up and run like 20 of those things? They can do it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's. I don't know what kind of magical methamphetamine those guys are on. Man, the energy level there was just off the hook.
I did ask at Buckeye Game Fest if they would be joining us for Origins, and they are not sure they're going to make it at all.
Oh, they told me flatly no. So
maybe they would just be polite to me. I don't know, but I don't know why they would bother. But they said they really didn't think they were going to make it to Origins this year. So not even for a day trip.
Well, they got, you know, they got a lot of stuff going on too, and if they've decided, as is I think a reasonable decision, that they have a better personal experience at Buckeye Game Fest, which, you know, I think a thing, it's a conclusion folks could arrive at, then okay, they chose. You got to prioritize these, man. I can't go to every event. I got a buddy saying, oh, you should come to Compass Expo with me in May. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. I just got back from Buckeye Game Fest. I'm freaking exhausted. So I need the 5, 6, 7 weeks between BGF and Origins to freaking recover from BGF. I've been playing Labatai for 12 hours a day for the last 6 days, man. I need a math break.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not the playing of Labatai. It's the math of Labatai that's the issue there.
There's a wee bit of base six math. It's not a big deal, but
yeah, for those who may have missed the conversations either on a web show or just being at Buckeye Game Fest, honestly, one of the funniest moments of Buckeye Game Fest was the look on Grant's face when you were explaining both incremental combat values and base six math
and base six DRMs. Yeah, I won't swear that I didn't oversell that just a little bit, but I didn't oversell it by much.
Even if you did, for comedic effect, it was totally worth it.
Oh, just... yeah, he had this look of horror on his face, like some Lovecraftian thing had just emerged from the deep.
Should we take a moment and explain to the audience what the headaches were that you were imparting upon Grant?
So there's occasions on which you've got to divide by the number of increments that you've lost, which isn't necessarily a nice easy number like 4. And there are also, it's base 66 combat resolution. So you and this is actually accurate. So you roll a 10's d6 and a 1's d6, and you get a result between 11 and 66, which by itself is no big deal. That's relatively straightforward. But then when you get the DRMs, sometimes you'll get a nice clean DRM, like a plus 12. Okay, you just add 2 to the 10s die. But if you don't have a clean DRM, say you got a plus 3 or plus 9, which is not uncommon, then you've got to add 1, you know, 1 for plus 9, you got to add 1 to the 10s die and 3 to the 1s die, which might cause the 1s die to roll over and the 10s die to roll over a second time. So you kind of got to do all this in your head. I did it live on stream last night, and it's really not as bad as I'm making it sound for dramatic effect, but it is base 6 math that you got to do on the fly at the table. So, you know, caveat emptor is all I got to say. I was very clear about this when I talked about it on stream last night.
Yeah, and the you know, 7/9 of your combat power that you right. are now adjusting to the base 6 DRMs.
Was, I mean, no. So that's never a DRM. That's okay. just the you know, your number that contributes to the odds number.
Gotcha. And the odds the
DRMs are all increments of that's not really true. You can have plus ones and plus twos and minus ones and minus twos that are the modifiers from the leaders. But most of like the condition DRMs, like your light cavalry face and heavy cavalry rivalry are multiples of six and make the math relatively easy. But you do sometimes see it's like heavy cavalry versus light cavalry, but they're lancers, so you might have a plus nine, for example. I don't know if that's the real DRM, but that kind of thing can happen.
Yeah, and then the odds are not just straight up 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, because there's a 1.5-1
and a 1-1.5.
Yeah, so it's basically the 3-2 and the 2-3 line in there somewhere.
Yeah,
so.
Although, you know, it's pretty easy to, you know, okay, I've got over 1-1, but I know I don't have 2-1, and you could almost always eyeball that and get the right number.
Yeah,
usually.
Now that we've
at one point I had a combat value going in of 106.
Yeah, so. Let me scratch this off my need list here. Okay.
Yeah, as you say, now that we've scared everyone away from it, look, we're not playing Labatt at Origins this year. It's okay.
I could bring it next year if you want, Brant. That's no problem. Well, I had a marvelous time with it, though. I totally enjoyed it and will absolutely play it again. I loved it.
As a card-carrying member of the Labatt Players Union, I would totally support its appearance at Origins.
Hey, we'll totally support enthusiastically someone else playing it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I am all for having it there, and I am happy to fill out the paperwork to get it on the schedule for you and then turn it over to you at that point.
You know, Brant, us Labatt players got to stick together, right?
And then get out of the way. All right, non-GMT stuff that we have floating around Origin. So we mentioned the Pico armor. Technically, that's an Avalon Hill game, right? It's Panzerblitz. So that's we've got six different sessions of that over the weekend. And I'm sure that if you stop by between sessions, if the guys are there, they'll give you a quick primer on how everything works. Not running a full scenario, obviously, but we've got six different three-hour sessions of you know, Panzerblitz with Pico armor.
Yeah, but teaching that will take literally 5 minutes.
Up until the point that you're having to explain the line of sight rules, and then that could take an infinite number of minutes, depending on how many recursions of you know, discontinuity you want to explore.
There's literally like four pages of rules in that game.
Yes, but the line of sight rules have been maddeningly inconsistent since 1971.
Well, I agree with that, but it's not a difficult game. It's easier than SCS, for example.
Yes,
and usually, do you know what scenario they're doing? Actually,
I do not know. I don't think it's just one scenario. I think they've got a couple of different ones prepped that you'd be able to do.
Because if they're doing East Front, this is why that wasn't considered a big deal back in 1971. Because it's East Front. There's no terrain on the map anyway.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing with the Pico armor guys, the way they're doing this. Because they've 3D'd the maps, the line of sight is literally get out your ruler and check, because there will be a hill in the way if you can't actually see your target. So there will be a physical hill in the way, should it be relevant.
Here comes the 10th season of the Armchair Dragoons podcast, mentioned in Dispatches. Let's thank all of our Patreon supporters who pledged at the top level. A huge thank you to Staggerwing, Martok, Patrick Geraghty, Fred and his dog, Mike Quigley, Joseph Knorr, Treb Corey, Robert, Patrick Mullen, Kevin Bertram, Chet Bell, and Hellcat 6 for their support of the Armchair Dragoons in helping us to bring you the best strategy gaming content on the web. You too can sign up as a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/armchairdragoons.
So... among the other folks we've got at the Wargame HQ, the Fort Circle guys are going to be there. So what we did last year was we sort of set aside a table for a publisher when we had a couple of particular publishers that were going to do a bunch of events with us. We gave them a whole table themselves. So, you know, we gave Catastrophe a whole table themselves, and Kevin's going to be there with Fort Circle Games again this year, and they've got a whole table. And so they've got a bunch of stuff on there. We've got Shores of Tripoli is going to have three iterations there. The sister game to Shores of Tripoli, Mike, we've got Halls of Montezuma. It's not even in print yet, but here it comes. So
be a good chance to see it.
It's all kinds of Marine love. I'm trying to figure out what the love for Marines is, but you know, they got cool uniforms, right?
There you go.
Interesting thing about Halls of Montezuma. So Shores of Tripoli, obviously, like, they're, you know, North Africa, the U.S. versus the pirates, early in the Napoleonic era. Halls of Montezuma, Mexican-American War, there's a co-designer who is actually a Mexican-American. So sort of broadening the base there a little bit. So I'm interested to see how that shakes out for the system. We got to check your schedule, see if you can check out either of those around the.
If I have time, perhaps. Yeah, Fort Circle did pretty good last time at Origins. Their events were very popular, so it's good to see they have this much scheduled for this upcoming Origins.
Yeah, the events were really popular. Unfortunately, Kevin had a family thing come up and had to leave a little early from Origins last year, but we were able to cover the events with other GMs, so we were still able to get the events done. So, you know, you're right, though, the events were pretty popular. The biggie, so we've got six iterations of Votes for Women that are going to be spread across the entire convention. And these were some of the first ones we had to sell out amongst the events that went live this past week. When the annual Origins DDoS attack was launched by everybody trying to register, the Votes for Women games were some of the first ones to sell out. So it'll be interesting to see how folks respond to that one as well. Looks like it's going to be pretty popular.
Yeah,
so.
That one's had a lot of attention lately, and I'm looking forward to checking it out as well. It's interesting historical space that they're exploring. So looking forward to seeing that there.
I know there were a lot of people stopping by to check it out on the table at Kevin's booth at the Gamma Expo. A lot of the retailers were coming by to ask about it. And because it's not in distribution channels, you got to order it direct from the company. A lot of people were coming by to talk to him about it. It was one of the best-selling games. I think it was the best-selling game of the month in March. It was Women's History Month, and it was the best-selling game of the month that month at the Labyrinth game store up in D.C. I'm sure part of that was the night that Tori, the designer, showed up and gave a talk about the game as well. But you know, Women's History Month, you're in DC where politics is kind of a popular thing. It sort of blew up there. Interestingly, so look, it was a little snippet. It was like 90 seconds towards the end of the show, but it was legitimately talked about on a TV, on a TV show, on a radio show. It was on Here and Now on NPR. Not a lot of historical strategy games can say that they've been covered by NPR.
That's true.
You know, so that's a little bit of a feather in the cap for them there. So yeah, if the Fort Circle stuff is always gorgeous productions. The physical production is fantastic. Shores of Tripoli's won a bunch of different awards. Not just, you know, some of the Wargaming awards, but also I think it was New Yorker magazine or one of the more popular press magazines named it their two-player game of the year 2 years ago. So that was pretty cool. It's a fun game. Like we had it at Buckeye Game Fest. It was one of the ones that we did. Again, fun, light game, gives you a really good sense of the history, still lets you float some ships around and blow stuff up, slinging dice. So, you know, it's a good time. It's, again, Fort Circle stuff looks great on the table, so it's always going to attract some passersby catching their eye and going, what the hell is that? But then you show them the game, they're like, oh, hey, that's pretty cool. So, we got to bounce this against your schedule and see what, you know, if we can loosen the chain on your table slightly to allow you to stretch over to there.
Just slightly. Maybe my table will be next to theirs and I can just look over there.
We can just pull your chair a little closer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's always a possibility. Looking forward to having Kevin back again this year and seeing what sort of outrageous Hawaiian shirt he has on this time around.
And hopefully he'll stay for the entire event.
Yes, well, that's dependent on not having a family emergency, which
we don't want that for anybody.
We don't want that to happen to anybody. Looking forward to having Fort Circle there with us again this year and sticking around the whole time. So that'd be great. The Catastrophe Games guys are going to have a whole table to themselves. And so, Gary, a bunch of what you saw at Buckeye Game Fest, Mike, a bunch of what you missed at Buckeye Game Fest will be on the table at Origins. So if you want to sit down and check out Arabian Struggle, Judean Hammer, Solder City, Stonewall Uprising, True Command, or Zermatt, we will have at least two of every one of those.
Time permitting, I'd be interested in playing Stonewall Uprising. I better be. I bought it already.
What are you doing Thursday morning at 9 o'clock?
What time is our Third World War start?
10 o'clock.
So. Yeah.
That's what I was let me see. Friday at 1, Friday when the at, now you're stuck. Sorry.
Yep. That's what I was afraid of. Same deal is going to be the case with Space Empires 4X. Fabulous game that I won't have time to play. We always bust it out at night, right?
I was going to say, we know where they store their stuff. We know where we store our stuff. So when after they all leave, we can just break into it. And
I can bring the damn thing if it comes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I was just checking. Now you're screwed on both the Space Empires 4X iterations as well.
I'm shocked to find gambling in this establishment.
Yeah. All right. So we do have a couple of things from Compass Games besides Third World War. We'll have Brief Border Wars set up for two trips through Brief Border Wars.
Border Wars 2 out yet, or is that still coming?
It is not out yet. I was kind of hoping there'd be at least like a pre-production copy that we'd get our hooks into for Origins. It's not going to happen.
Is Brian Train coming?
Brian is not going to join us for Origins. I believe Brian is going to be at Connections in DC, which this year overlaps Origins, which is just damn frustrating. So usually they manage to screw up Connections by having it overlap my birthday. This year they decided to screw it up by having it overlap Origins, so I still can't go.
Poor Brant, the man without a birthday.
Yeah, those bastards. So yeah, we're going to have some stuff from Compass there. Song for War is back. Unfortunately, their Kickstarter didn't make its money. Kind of sucks. They're gonna reboot and try and figure out a couple of things they want to do a little differently. Last year, we gave them their own table, and they had six different trips through Song for War set up. This year, we couldn't give them their own table because we got a couple other things got to move on and off the table. But we've still got them for five times through Song for War.
Believe it or not, I've heard that you just don't start a Kickstarter and then people throw money at you. It's actually worked.
Yeah, apparently. Look, if they'd had some collectible minis included, then maybe it would have.
And tits. Their game needs more tits.
We are, in fact, referring to the small birds, correct?
Of course.
Yeah.
What else would you be referring to?
Right. The Wingspan expansion. The mighty tits.
Yeah, Invicta Rex are going to be there. Song for War, it's the Mediterranean theater, so, you know, air, sea, and land. Mike, did you actually play in it last year, or did you just go over there and stare longingly?
You don't give me any free time to do anything. I'm a GM. I can't. No, I'm working. And when I'm not GMing games, you're having me go get you sandwiches and stuff. So I know I had no time to do that.
I'm bringing a couple of short filler games. I'm prepping this one now. It's called Europa Universalis: The Price of Power. So we'll knock that out at lunch over lunch.
I think. You might want to bring something that takes a little more time than that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I could bring Case Blue. I got that covered. So
have you clipped it yet?
Case Blue?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How many shows did that
take? I'm sorry. To whom are you speaking?
How many shows did that take?
That happened over the course. I kind of went in and out of it. It didn't get clipped in one contiguous session. It did take me three whole days, not shows, days, to clip Pacific War. So
I believe that. Now, do you have a backup plan? I'm going to get off track here for a second because that's what this podcast is all about. Do you have a plan if game companies start having everything come out pre-punched, the corners are rounded, there's no clipping needed? What are you going to do? What's going to be your replacement for clipping counters?
I don't know why everybody asks me this question, because I'm happy to see pre-rounded counters on games. I don't have to deal with it then. In that case, I can fall back on 3D designing custom 3D printed counter trays for them.
Cool.
So for example, I've got the relatively new No Peace Without Honor from Compass pre-rounded counters. Nice looking game. Didn't need to clip it. But hey, I can make a custom 3D printed counter tray. I'm at the point where I'm a little short on small games to clip during the show. All I can do is like get these giant monster packages out and just slowly eke away at them, right? I've been clipping. I mean, I've clipped the Musket and Pike dual pack for about four shows now. Here and there, I stick to other stuff in there as it shows up. But also, triangular counters don't clip well.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that's part of what Mike is asking is like, what happens to the counter clipping show when the counters don't need clipping?
Well, right, just exactly. nobody's really tuning in to hear the clip, clip, clip.
I tell you what, I'll counters, do. Right? When it gets to that point, I will send you my copy of World in Flames, the Collector's Deluxe Edition with all the expansions. And that'll keep you going for another couple of years.
Mike, I clipped that in like a couple of weeks. I gotta tell you. So if I'm into it, man, I want this thing done. Yeah, I gotta see it all. That's true. I got that whole thing. I mean, I didn't buy it all at once. I bought a classic, collector's edition classic, and then bought the expansions like in a couple of different packages. So it wasn't like all showed up on the doorstep at the same time. But yeah, mine's all done, man. It's ready to play. Meticulously organized in an incredibly anal way.
All right, other stuff we're going to have on the table at Origins. David Thompson's going to be there, and he's going to have Undaunted.
Outstanding.
And it's going to be the Battle of Britain game.
David is, in fact, Undaunted.
Yes.
And he owes me $5, so I'm glad he's going to be there.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. He always owes $5.
I don't want to know, do I?
I want my $2. I want my $2.
Your movie references, people. Now, exactly. If you look in the Origins program for the Undaunted events, it just says Undaunted, play with the designer. We didn't specify which game because we weren't sure Battle of Britain was going to be back by the time we had to have the events submitted to Origins for the schedule. And so we went ahead and just listed it as Undaunted. If Battle of Britain wasn't going to be here, we were going to have Stalingrad instead. However, Battle of Britain's done. We're going to have it back. Be good.
And, yeah, David hit. Is it out now or was that a prototype David had at BGF?
I think that was just like one of the promo copies, but I think it's already shipping places. I don't know if it's hit an official on sale date, but I do know it has been shipped to some places.
Okay. So a lucky few have received it already.
And he's bringing the GMs their free copies to Origins, right?
Yeah, I'll let you contact him directly about that one. Let me know what he says.
Knowing David, he'd probably say, yeah, sure, guys, no problem.
He'll say it and then have to go email the Osprey people and go, hey, I promised these guys.
Oh, yeah, he's just going to get on the phone with Osprey. But, yeah, it sounds like Osprey's very, sounds to me anyway, like Osprey's real supportive, and they might buy it too. So,
yeah, I've been cut in on a couple of the emails for the Osprey folks, again, when we were trying to figure out which games we were doing. They are supposed to be sending us a couple for the raffle.
Oh, good.
Different copies of some Undaunted games. I'm hoping Battle of Britain is in there. There's probably going to be an Undaunted Stalingrad in the raffle, so somebody's going to go home with a really big box.
It's a pretty big box. It ain't this big, but it's pretty big.
It's fairly hefty. All right, so the thing we hadn't talked about yet was the command post exercises.
Very exciting.
So we have three CPXs this year, one each Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The Thursday and Friday ones will go a little later in the evening. The Saturday ones around lunchtime. The other thing that we're doing a little differently this year is they're doing a couple little tactics classes with the CPX folk. So the CPX instructors, it's not going to be a full scenario that you're going to play out the whole game. What they're going to do is do a bit of a tactics boot camp about here's how this particular facet of a battle works according to different kinds of doctrine, and play out a couple of things on the screen, let you noodle around a little bit with some of those missions without going through the entire CPX process. So there's sort of a focused mini CPX, and there's going to be one on the recon counter recon fight. There's going to be one on gap crossing, so bridging events or other large scale linear danger area crossing that you've got to do. And there's going to be one on the movement to contact, which is a particular kind of mission where both the forces are moving. And so you're going to be able to do a bit of a tactics primer on those. Those generally happen in the mornings on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then later in the evenings or the afternoon evening, we'll be doing the full CPXs in there. So again, for those that have never been there, Mike, have you ever played in one of the CPXs?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I knew
I knew we'd put Gary through the ringer.
Oh, yeah. No, it's totally worth your time, too. It's another one of those unique experiences that not you, Brant, but a lot of folks like myself are never really going to have the ability to experience that outside Origins. And it is super valuable and interesting. And I'd recommend that any wargamer do it at least once. You might not do it twice, but I recommend doing it at least once.
100% agree. And that's one of the things where I did it. And I remember getting back to the room at the hotel. My wife looked at me. She says, "What the hell is wrong?" I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "What is wrong with you? You're like, you're sweating and you're what's going on?" I said, "Well, I just got out of the CPX."
It's fairly high intensity, and you are moving around. It's not like you're just sitting at a table. There's a lot of shuffling and, you know, walking from one end of the table to the other and that kind of thing.
The energy level around that table is high.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once the mission starts, it is definitely buzzing.
Are they going to do Southern Storm? Do you know?
They are planning to use Southern Storm.
Okay.
And so what Mike is referring to, so the CPX is command post exercise. All of the players in the event are all on the same team, and they are the people that populate a command post for a military unit. So you've got a commander and an executive officer, but you got the fires officer, the intel officer, the maneuver officer, the plans guy, the fire support guy, the log, the logistics guy, the aviation guy, whatever people you've got. We're saying guy, it could be guy, girl, doesn't matter. And we take the first hour to hour and a half where we give you a basic primer on how to properly build a military mission, what all the different parts of the order are and who's responsible for them and how you get the information for those. And then we give you some time to actually plan and build the order based on the mission you're given. And then we'll start executing that in the game. And we use a computer game to do it. And that's what Mike was referring to. The guys that are the main coaches on this and the computer operators are the dev team behind the Flashpoint Campaigns series of computer games. And the most recent one that just came out is Southern Storm, which is an update to their engine and takes place in Southern Europe in that Narnia world that Gary likes to make fun of, that hypothetical Cold War goes hot in the 80s. And so our guys operate the computers as a part of all this while your folks are just explaining, hey, here's what we want to happen for our mission. And so on turn two, when your entire mission has gone completely to crap, our lead coach is going to look at the commander and go, okay, boss, now what? And the staff has to adjust to the information as it unfolds in the battle and make changes to the plan and update their orders and be tracking what's going on to give the commander the best info they need to make whatever orders and changes. And that goes on for 2 to 2.5 hours. And then about the last 30 minutes, we do the after action review where, you know, we shut the game down and we talk about what you learned, what you did, what you could have done, what you should have done, why you did it or didn't do it. We will include a little bit of playback from some of the events on screen because our guys will screen cap some of those and show you what happened. But that's what it is. You're running a command post for 4 hours. So, and again, the coaches aren't just guys that are the dev team. Several of these guys have done this in real life. So that's what you get as a part of this. And I guess, so, you know, Mike and Gary have both been through it and we'll endorse it for you. I've been a coach off and on with this thing over the years. Gary, you're muted.
I have been endorsing it to people for years. I think it's, like I said, I think it's a great event that folks ought to participate in.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure the On Target Sims guys really appreciate you endorsing it too.
No, I doubt they know who I am, but
saying that. Oh, I'm sure they know who you are. Again, as you've noted, you are the very loud guy in the booth.
Well, that's true. I mean, just because you're the loudest guy doesn't mean you're the only guy, though, Sam.
Yes, well, there's that. Outside of the wargaming area, Gary, what else are you looking forward to seeing at Origins this year?
Oh, that's a great question. I will definitely take careful note of whatever our good friends at Enterprise Games choose to bring. I am reasonably sure I don't need anything from Decision Games. I might be wrong about that. I've been known to buy a thing or two.
Stigler will second that emotion.
Well, he is the world's biggest fan of Decision Games, as you know.
Yes.
So we have photographic evidence of this that our investigative reporters have procured. So Chaosium, I'll probably check out whatever Chaosium's got cooking, which for me is probably more likely to be RuneQuest stuff than Call of Cthulhu stuff. But at some point, they'll have a new edition of Pendragon as well, which I'm probably on the hook for.
So incidentally, did you see the photos from Gamma Expo? They did have the pre-press copies of the new Pendragon starter set with them and said there is a decent, although not 100% chance that they may have it for Origins.
Oh, I didn't hear that. No, that surprises me. I normally expect that they will have it for Gen Con.
They will definitely have it for Gen Con. According to the guy I was speaking with at the Chaosium table at the in the exhibit hall at Gamma Expo, because I was asking about the Pendragon starter set specifically. I've explained on previous podcasts that I'm a sucker for the starter kits. For whatever game.
Pendragon is a marvelous and unique game, by the way.
Yes, because of the way it's one of those games that you have to use for their Arthurian legends, and I don't know that it would work for literally any other setting.
Well, it literally does work for another setting because they did a Charlemagne's Paladins thing about it with that system. But it's not only a really neat and interesting RPG, it's like a literal work of actual Arthurian scholarship.
Yeah.
There is the game contains, just as like a side thing, Greg Stanley Stafford did when he put that thing together, this like synthesis of all the Arthurian legends, both, you know, medieval and modern. So it's really fascinating just to examine from, and they've done books just on that. They did that in Arthurian Encyclopedia that just talks about, you know, all the different sources. Cause I've seen Excalibur, same as everybody else, but that's not the whole story on the Arthurian myth, right? So it's a really interesting synthesis, just that piece of work alone that they did and were able to kind of put that all together.
Yeah. Well, even with Charlemagne's Paladins, though, I mean, there were certain things they had to sort of pull back out or de-emphasize.
Oh, sure.
The original rules, just because they weren't part of the Arthurian mythos there.
So I mean, a lot of the details are different in Paladin, but like the virtues are different, for example, but underlying mechanics are the same.
Yeah. But in any event, there is a chance that the Pendragon starter set might be there for Origins.
That would be cool.
So if that is something of interest to you, then there you go.
Well, if they have that, then they're probably the first place. They might be the first place I stop, because the Studio 2 folks tend not to run out of things. So, and that will be another place that I look. I tell myself this now, and I'm probably absolutely full of crap that I'm going to do less shopping this year than in previous years. But I am in all likelihood full of crap. So
you will likely buy fewer Commands and Colors games this year than you have in previous years.
Oh, that's guaranteed. I don't need them for one thing, and I'm not running it for another thing. So
yes,
thank God. That
probably helps. So the Studio 2 guys were very non-committal about what new stuff they were going to have for the conventions this year.
Well, they got a lot of irons in the fire, only one of which is Mongoose, right? So
yes.
So I have no idea what Mongoose will have ready at that time.
Yeah, the impression I got from talking with Jim Searcy is that the Mongoose stuff is targeted more for Gen Con. So if it's ready for Origins, that's just dumb luck, but not intentional. The broader Studio 2 stuff, I think they were being fairly non-committal at the expo, not because they were trying to be sneaky, but because they're just not 100% sure what's going to show up on the shipping dock.
Oh, that's totally my expectation.
So that was the impression that I got. That may not be accurate. That may just be really good acting on the part of the Studio 2 guys. But the impression that I got was they just weren't 100% sure what was going to be in.
Yeah, well, I don't know if your impression includes that they're professional actors or not, but that's not my impression. So we get that out.
Yeah, fair enough. The Studio 2 guys did mention that the Mongoose folks are planning on making an appearance at Gen Con.
Yeah, so, and that's too bad, because I won't be there. So
yeah, sorry. I did warn you, you did have time to try and make a day trip.
It's not your fault. I just don't see that happening. There's can you even day trip to Gen Con nowadays? I'm a little unclear as to whether that's even possible.
I don't know about these days. I did it in 2007.
Okay, but Grant, that was 15, 16 years ago.
Yes, yes.
So
when I was a spry young whippersnapper in my 30s and could do such crazy things.
They were still using horses back then, for Christ's sakes.
Okay, this isn't when Bob was in his 30s or back in the 30s. Mike, what are you looking forward to at Origins that's not our wargaming area? What else is there?
Well, after opening up my tab at Enterprise, I will definitely go check out the places that Gary mentioned. I will look at Decision Games. I always go there and usually end up getting something I don't need. I'll probably go see, I'm assuming Carolina Game Tables will be there. I'll go say hi to Clinton and Jody. I've sent two of their kids through college now, so they'll be happy to see me.
How many Carolina Game Tables are you up to?
I own two Carolina Game. Well, okay. One's actually a coffee table. Does that count? So I've got a dining table and a coffee table.
Okay. I mean, you got it from them. So yes, it counts.
I think that counts.
I also own a table from a Board Game Table. So I can do a comparison contrast if you want to get into all that. But yeah. So yeah, I'll go say hi to them. And then what else? I don't know. I'll just look around and check out all the odd little games like Prison Cats and, oh God, what else? Pencil Mogul and whatever weird games that are on display.
Are these actual products?
No, but see, they sound like things you would see at Origins, right?
Oh, they totally do, yeah.
I mean, tell me you wouldn't buy a copy of Prison Cats.
No, I'm pretty much good with not, actually, but that's me. You know, I only have so much bandwidth to play games about things that are in prison, right?
I'm still waiting for the day that Doug Miller's Hanseatic Wheat Orgy makes its appearance at Origins.
That would that'll probably be there, actually.
I'm waiting. He's got to put that on Kickstarter first.
Yeah.
And then how many
obvious fit for Kickstarter.
And then how many dice will I buy? I don't know. More than all I of should.
Yeah. Chances are pretty outstanding. I'll end up buying. I mean, I never spent $1 million over there, but chances are pretty outstanding that I'll end up walking away with some Black Oak Workshop dice.
Yep.
Surprising if that did not happen.
They have 4 new advent calendars on Kickstarter right now, guys.
Oh, yeah. I've looked at those. I've
You know you need a nice advent calendar in your life.
The Christmas Carol one looked rather intriguing to me. Let's just say that.
The one with the witches was kind of cute. I had some entertaining dice in it. They have some dice now that are different shapes. So they have some D4 that look like crystals that you sort of roll them out of your hand sideways. So they do have some different shapes coming. They have a D8 that's phases of the moon. Should that be relevant to whatever game you're playing?
I might go for that, actually.
Whatever werewolf game you've got going on.
Whether it's relevant to the game or not, yeah, I'd go for that.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I could absolutely find a fantasy RPG use for that. That kind of thing. I absolutely could.
And their D4, it sounds like if I step on their D4, I won't puncture my foot. So
maybe yeah, these, one of those. These are not home defense D4s. No.
There you go.
So the Black Oak guys are definitely sort of expanding some of the things that they're doing now with some of the different kinds of dice that they've got. And some of them are pretty cool. They have a few more glow in the dark kind of dice floating around now also, should those be of interest to you. We know our buddy Cyrano is not going to care one way or the other. However, for the rest of us, glow in the dark dice might be kind of fun.
Well, so, if you play the post-apocalyptic games, yes, you must have glow in the dark dice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Unfortunately, Ares is not going to have their own booth this year. They're going to be connected to somebody else. So that's, I believe they're still going to have a bunch of Wings of Glory, Sails of Glory, but because they're working out of somebody else's booth, I don't think they're going to have any of the Nuts publishing games that Ares is the distributor for. So when I was talking with these guys at the expo, I don't think they're going to have copies of Phytna or This War Without an Enemy or We Are Coming Nineveh or any of those other games with them at Origins. It's unfortunate. Be nice to get my hooks into a couple of those. But they may, I think they're going to sort of max out with the Wings of Glory, Sails of Glory stuff, because that's what sells, right? That's the cool looking stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, Deeds Foundation will be there with copies of Littoral Commander. So if you want your copy of Littoral Commander and you didn't get in on the pre-orders, you can show up and get it from Deeds directly at Origins. So come on down for that one.
I didn't pre-order that. I'll probably end up picking that up.
I'll take a look at it as well. Yeah. I'll have to look at it and see.
Can't help yourselves.
Do we know if Blue Panther is going to be there this year?
Blue Panther is not going to be there this year.
Okay. So I just saved about $300. That's good.
we'll come back around. Gary and I just spent all our money with him at Buckeye Game Fest. So
I didn't go totally bananas or anything. They had the flash sale. I bought 2 games.
Yeah.
And got a 3rd game for free, basically. So you can't really beat that deal, can you?
Yeah. I might have bought an extra one if they'd done the flash sale in time for me to do it. So he waited until I was done, and then
I am positive that was intentional.
Oh, I guarantee it. It's like GMT waiting for me to release Tuesday Newsday and then 14 minutes later sending out their monthly email.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah, it's guaranteed. Outside of the exhibit hall, Mike, is there anything else you're wanting to check out at Origins?
Oh, I can't wait to get back to that little Subway stand just outside the exhibit hall there to get a nice sub sandwich. I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. Oh, yeah, $8 Subway 6-inch cold cut combo. It's amazing.
That they made last month. Yeah.
That's
Can't wait.
So is that a no?
Outside of the exhibit hall? Talking.
You're wanting to go see or... You gonna go crash the costume contest or something this year?
I doubt it. I tend to spend most of the time in the Armchair Dragoons wargaming area.
Strangely enough.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we do chain you to the table.
That I was gonna say, because I have no choice.
It's weird. I don't know if you folks know that or not.
So Gary, we don't have to chain to the table. We just let him pick a game that he won't want to walk away from.
Yeah. I think my patience is pretty well established by our choice of Europa for last year. So I'm confident that we'll in fact be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I'm going to be curious to see this year is what happens with attendance, because they were breaking 20,000 up until the pandemic. And then The first one back from the pandemic was in October. Gary, as you have pointed out, there is absolutely no reasonable conclusion one can draw from an October Origins.
Right. I feel like they felt, and they could feel free to argue with me about this, but I feel like they must have felt that they had to do that because otherwise it was going to kill the whole event, right?
That's probably not an unreasonable thought there. You know, last year, I think some people still weren't completely comfortable traveling with the pandemic not fully subsiding. There are some that will make the case that it's still not fully subsided.
Yep.
But the combination of folks who didn't feel safe being in that big of a crowd and folks who felt safe being in that big of a crowd but didn't want to have to wear a mask for 5 days.
Right. And those who felt safe and came home with COVID anyway.
Yeah, there's a couple of those that I think those things helped suppress Origins attendance some last year. And this is not to say that either of those groups was right or wrong, but I think that helped suppress Origins attendance last year. This year, there's no mask or vaccination requirements as a part of attending Origins. So I think the folks for whom that was a political hill to die on have had that hill removed so that they don't have to worry about that piece. But I think we're far enough past the worst of the pandemic, and there are enough booster shots out there these days that some folks that didn't feel safe being in the crowd last year perhaps feel more safe being in them this year.
That's possible.
So I would suspect Origins attendance is going to go up from where it was last year. I don't think it's going to get to where it was in 2019.
I suspect that you're right about that.
Yeah. I don't think that's going too far out on a limb.
But back in 2019, they had to hit, you know, or what were they, like 25, 27,000, something like that? I mean,
Know that it was that high.
But whatever it was.
It was over 20.
But it was real high, right? So it was over 20. And
the magical Google box says 2019 was 20,642.
It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. It is a lot of people. I'm looking to see the years right around that one way or the other. That's where it maxed out. 2018 was at 18.6 and 2017 was 17,001. I think the one might have been my daughter that year, actually.
That's possible.
So the other thing that's never 100% been clarified, although we could probably try to pin Gamma down on an answer to this, is whether or not that count is paid badges or whether like us as volunteer GMs and such are counted in that number.
I don't think it's a huge leap to assume that that number is pretty small in the grand scheme of things. We put it that way.
I mean, with volunteers and GMs, it's a couple hundred. It's
sure.
It's not 1,000, but it's a couple hundred. But I've never had a firm answer one way or the other. So I've also never really pressed them on it, to be fair. But
well, Gamma's all about transparency, as you know.
So. They're getting better, but I think there's still certain things they feel uncomfortable sharing.
Okay, I agree.
For whatever reasons, right? I imagine there's a couple of things that they're probably legally concerned about sharing.
I don't doubt that there are things that they shouldn't share, actually. I think that's a reasonable statement to make.
Mike, are you like shuffling through Antarctic exploration maps or something?
Nope. Just rule books. I'm looking at rule books.
He's
rule
packing books. For Origins, Brent.
That's you right. I got to get my Plains Indian Wars
rule. You got to get packed now.
Okay. No. If you're packing Plains Indian Wars away for Origins now, after having previously admitted to needing to learn the game, we've got concerns. There are issues here. All right, as we wrap this up, looking forward to Origins and any other convention stuff coming up this summer. Mike, outside of Origins, any other convention stuff or gaming plans for the rest of the summer before the podcast reconvenes in September?
Conventions? I don't believe so. No conventions, just Origins.
Dude's retired and he goes to one convention over the summer.
I know.
What's the matter with this guy, Gary?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Something's got to give.
All right, Gary, other than Origins, obviously not Compass Expo in May, but other than Origins, are you going to try to make WBC this year?
So it is a possibility.
I mean, you live like 2 hours.
By no means a certainty that I may day trip WBC. That is possible.
Don't you live like 2 hours closer to it these days?
Oh, I'm probably less than 2 hours away.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that though. It's that our sort of summer vacation itinerary may have changed. And if that proves to be the case, then a day trip out to WBC becomes possible, because that revised summer vacation could happen whenever. It doesn't have to happen for a specific event. So
gotcha. All right. And so, but no Gen Con.
It seems damn unlikely.
And no CSW Expo, because who the hell wants to go to Arizona in July?
No, I think it's in August now, which isn't better. and
Arizona.
Well, right. But it's just a really expensive location. The Arizona location, flying into Phoenix is expensive. The hotel is quite expensive. It is comparable to the Hyatt. If you're splitting the rent, unlike in Ohio, where it's pretty unusual for a hotel to increase the room rate if you add a second person, that hotel does. It's still cheaper per person, but it's I think it seems damn unlikely. Let me put it that way. I'd be delighted to go at some point, but it ain't happening this year. So yeah. I can guarantee that, because I don't have the extra $3,000 to spend to go.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
And that's probably a high estimate, but that's it's not a double estimate. It's like
not unrealistic.
Yeah, it's like a $2,000 trip from Ohio.
Yeah.
So
I would like to make either WBC or Historicon 1 year, just because I've never been to either.
Historicon doesn't interest me at all. It's mostly miniatures and I don't do that. So
yeah, so, you know, I would go, I'd want to play in a game or two, just to be able to play in a game or two and not have to, like, do all the arts and crafts myself. I think Historicon, for the visual spectacle of it all, I think would be a lot of fun.
Oh, I think it's probably cool to look at. Where is it again?
So it had been in Northern Virginia for a while, but I think it's moved back to Pennsylvania.
Is it in Lancaster?
Yeah, I mean, there's three of us sitting in front of computers, and we didn't bother to, like, look.
I block all miniatures-related websites, Grant. for self-preservation purposes, you understand.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so HMGS, what do we got here? .org, Historicon, Lancaster. They're going to be back in Lancaster this year.
Okay, is it that super shitty hotel in Lancaster that
the Lancaster County Convention Center? So they're going to be using the convention center.
Okay.
I do not know what sort of hotel is attached to that.
And that draws, what, like 18, 20 people? Something like that?
I think the total number of years alive of the attendees is somewhere in these seven figures.
I don't doubt that. It's actually a large event. A lot of people do go.
It's a couple thousand people.
I'm teasing. Yeah, it's like 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 or something like that. Yeah,
I don't think they hit five figures. I mean, in age.
A thing to remember for Board Word Gamers is we are the minority even over here. So if you search for hashtag wargaming on Twitter, look at what you get. It's reflective of the people that are the complexion of the people that associate with that term.
Yeah.
So yeah. Unless we want to be considered, you know, unless we want to be kicked out of the miniatures community, we better watch our step.
You know, look, what's the worst they can do to you, right?
They can put me in charge of something else, actually, is the worst, literal worst they can do to me right now, Brent.
My
mouth off. Now I'm in charge. This sucks.
I'm perfectly happy to let you run the wargaming program at Origins next year.
Absolutely not. That'll be an absolute no-show. It'll be a big blank space in the middle of the exhibit hall as I wander around the dealer's room, spending all the sweet, sweet money that flows to that space.
Yeah. Okay, so last thing here, Mike, you had mentioned Blue Panther at Origins. They are not going to be back this year. However, in the conversation I had with Steve at Buckeye Game Fest, if we can work with the Gamma guys about possibly getting some vendors co-located with us in the gaming area again, Steve would be interested in being one of those. Now, that is probably good for Steve and bad for you because he's that much closer for you to spend money with him. But it is not beyond the pale that if Origins is willing to work with us about co-locating a couple of vendors and he is able to be one of those, there's a chance they could come back.
Well, that would be good. I actually have, you know, I usually get a hotel room there so he could store a lot of his stock, you know, in the room while before he actually sets up in the exhibit hall there. So,
and he keeps he's very slipshod at inventory. So...
Yeah, I'll let you talk to Steve about that one. Let me know how that goes. Get back.
I need to talk to Steve. I need to do a road trip down and see Steve. We talked about that at Origins the last time he was there. I think I need to do that.
I think he's in Michigan. Perfectly happy to let you.
No, he's in he's in Tennessee now.
Oh right, yeah, I remember from all those times they ship me stuff.
Yeah, so, he's relocated to Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Murfreesboro, Tennessee, site of the Battle nearby the Battle of Stones River. Anyway.
I'll just hop in the car and drive down there and see him.
Yeah.
As a retired.
I guess we could call it the Battle of Murfreesboro because the Confederates did win it after all. So.
Wow. Oh, well.
Do I have a battle on my own?
Parting shots, Mike. Any final thoughts on Origins or the podcast season as a whole this time around?
I can't believe the podcast season is over. It seems shocking.
Yeah. What's this podcast season run? Like a week and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
something like that. remember agreeing to be on this show either, to be honest. I might have, but I don't remember.
We've got your contract. Where did it go? Yeah. It's over here.
It's signed by Satan himself.
Yes. Well, it's not also signed, but we have it.
Jim Ozarski.
It was never signed. Santa, one or the other. It's a little tough to make it out. We do a spring season and a fall season. We run a dozen plus or minus, you know, episodes. This time we happened to end up at 13 episodes is where it landed. We've gone as high as 15 and as low as 8 over.
And when will this episode be broadcast, Brent?
About 3 days from now. I get to rush through the editing of this. So the 5th of May.
Yeah, you told me that.
This coming Friday is.
You told me that. The Cinco de Mayo celebrations. Brent, if you would have told us that, we'd have all worn sombreros.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that the two guys that edit video don't want to hear anything about how editing audio only podcasts, you know, 3 days. God, if I had 3 days to edit my videos.
My. This will take almost half an hour from my valuable time.
And so, 15 minutes of that is the computer does most of the work. Taking
that's right. Right. His computer overheats too. He does all the editing on his bag phone that he uses for filming.
On the cell phone, yeah. as you two jabronis are making fun of the whole editing process, let me ask, how often does someone end up talking over you on your videos?
Quite a bit, actually. I talk over myself all the time. Yeah, exactly.
You guys are both proving my point right now.
Yeah.
Wait,
I stream with Dan, okay?
That's very...
Okay, what case that means is that you stream over Dan laughing.
Not all the time. Dan talks over me all the time. I talk over him sometimes too, but that's on purpose. He doesn't even know he's talking over me. He's just like a tiny little bulldozer.
Full profanity.
With occasional profanity. Occasionally, yes. I have to tell him, Dan, please don't talk about this on the show tonight.
And then he proceeds to talk about it on the show.
And then he went, I can't even talk about that. What's this world coming to? Dan, I don't care what it's coming to. I don't want to get demonetized again.
Have the Pinkertons shown up at your door yet, Gary?
And not yet. That might be them right now. The Pinkertons are on the case. It'll take them months to find me.
You'll be okay with the Pinkertons.
They're really the Pinkertons.
All right. On that note, I think we have expired for this evening. So audience,
I expired at about 9 a.m.
Yeah, well, that's that's your own fault for being up so late last night sorting out Charlie's. So.
That's right.
Did we stay on topic? I don't even remember.
What was the topic again, Brent?
I don't remember.
What were we just talking about? Where are my pants?
We were having a podcast.
This was the episode about the upcoming Dragoons Fall Assembly. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got that coming, too. Are you going to mention that? You going to pimp that a little bit, Brent?
Well, so we have the Fall Assembly coming up in October down here in North Carolina. Gamers Army is going to host our first ever in-person convention.
Catered North Carolina barbecue, I hope.
Were Gary and I invited to that, by the way?
I don't remember seeing a formal invitation with gold.
You're not going to get a formal invitation. You're going to get whatever invitation I decide to give you.
Come or not, I don't care.
Yeah. Pretty much.
These guys are kind of a pain in the ass anyway.
Hey, this is when it's happening. If you're there, great. And if you're not, that's more catered North Carolina barbecue for me. So the Gamers Army guys are giving us about half the store to take over. And so that gives us about 6-7 tables over the course of the weekend. One thing they are doing for us is they're going to open early on Sunday so we can get in there and get a full day of Sunday gaming in, because they do close a little earlier that day. So that way we don't lose too much of Sunday for some gaming. So we'll start Friday afternoon. We'll run Friday afternoon all day Saturday and then most of Sunday. Because we're in a game store, we don't really have a hotel attached to it that you can like book rooms at or anything. But it also means we're not paying for the event space. So we've got to limit the attendance because the store only hold so many people, but it is a chance for folks to make that pilgrimage that you need to make to Gamers Armory to come check it out.
And to get North Carolina barbecue, which is the finest barbecue in the world, in my opinion.
There is some outstanding barbecue around here, and it's just a matter of whether you want east or west of I-95 barbecue, because whether you want the vinegar base or the tomato base, we can go either way from this area of North Carolina. We can get you in either direction pretty easily. And but yeah, it's a chance to come down here and meet some folks and play some games with the Dragoons, and we'll see how this first one goes. If it goes well, then we'll look to maybe expand for next year and maybe move out of the store and move to a slightly larger location,
like Gen Con.
Yeah, we're gonna
just like Gen Con
by force and take over Gen Con.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'd be happy if we can just, you know,
these fat old men just waddled in and said they're taking, oh, they're in charge now. I'm not sure what's going on, Pete. What should we do?
Wasn't he a war gamer at one point?
Oh yeah, he still is.
Yeah. So, you know, they know what we're up to.
They don't care what we're up to, Brad.
No, they don't. They don't give a flying rat's ass. So anyway, watch the website for the details on the fall assembly. The Dragoons fall assembly coming up. Yes, it'll be the details of the details. It is 2021-22 October of this coming year. So that's what you want to keep an eye out for. But watch our site. That's where we'll put up the information and let folks know when registration is going to go live. Again, we've got a cap attendance at about 40 or so, just because we only have so much space in the store to work with. So it is going to be something that I hope sells out. It'd be kind of cool that there's enough demand to sell it out. Maybe I should cap attendance at 20 and it'd be more likely to sell out.
Yeah, there you go.
Cap attendance at 6. We sold out in 9 minutes.
Yep. Yep. Brant, his wife, and 4 kids.
Yeah. A couple of neighbors' kids.
Great success. There will be cake.
Yeah. Not barbecue flavored cake, regular cake. So I think we've certainly run our course here. Audience, thank you for sticking with us all the way through season 10 in sequence. I want to emphasize that we made it in sequence. We did not get out of order at all this season. To all the guests that we've had over the course of this season, we had Wayne show up from, doing his solo wargaming. David Thompson joined us. David Heath was here. Gary's been here 2 or 3 or 4 times at this point. Mike even showed up more than once, which was nice of him. Yeah, Rocky was here a couple of times. So Pat Mooney joined us. So that was pretty cool. And then Chris Pramus from Green Ronin, way back at the very beginning of all of this. Finally got to meet him in person at the expo. That was awesome.
Kind of,
yeah, he was there. So got a chance to meet him and hang out with him for a little bit. So that was kind of fun. We'll see you guys at Origins. We'll see you at the Fall Assembly. We'll see you next year at Buckeye Game Fest. They haven't announced dates for Buckeye Game Fest for next year, right?
If they did, I didn't hear them.
I think they're still trying to decide whether or not they're going to leave it in the spring or move it back to the fall.
My advice would be to keep it where it is, because it is where it is and people are starting to acclimate. They lost people when they moved, but they gained other people that couldn't show up in the spring, but couldn't show up in the fall. Now, if they move it back, they're going to lose those people again. Yes. And then the people that they lost in the fall may not come back for several years because they don't know it's in the fall yet. So
they're going to be off doing...
They're not consulting me, but my advice would be they pick the time, stick with that time.
You're in charge of the war room. How can they not consult
you? I am so not in charge of anything. I'm really tired of being put in charge of things, Brant, just so you know.
So
I'll be looking for my invitation either way.
To what? Buckeye Game Fest?
Yeah.
Why? So you can ignore it again?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
I'm going, damn it. I had hotel reservations this year. I was going.
And?
And then no.
Mike was gonna one as one of those guys that was gonna play Love a Tie with us, actually.
That would have been that sounds like fun.
I had a great time with it. And then if you like accounting, you'll find it amazing. There's really not accounting in it, actually. But if you don't mind it being a little bit mathy, I had a fabulous time. I would be delighted to play it again. Anyway.
You guys look like you're having a blast, which is the whole point of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. Audience, come find us at Origins. Wargame HQ will be in the gaming hall. If not there, look, there's gonna be all kinds of pictures all over the website. And then look for us again to bring the podcast back in the fall. I don't know that we're gonna have a one-off podcast over the summer, but we may pop up here and there with a couple of live streams just so that Gary doesn't monopolize all of the live streaming time available over the summer.
That would never happen.
Gary and Dan monopolize all the live streaming time over the summer.
That Dan, what a monopolizer.
Yeah. He's Canadian. They monopolize. They don't moose-opolize. Never mind. All right. Thanks, audience. We'll catch you next season on the next season of Mentioning Dispatches.